This is James Goover with K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District with your Extension Crop Report. When wheat breaks dormancy in early spring, many farmers will notice that parts of the field are growing slower and are a shade more yellow. This is often blamed on nitrogen deficiency, but quite often it's actually sulfur deficiency. Most plant available sulfur comes from the breakdown of organic matter, which is why sulfur deficiency is more common in lower organic matter soils, but can also happen in the spring when organic matter turnover is low from cold soils, but the wheat is actively growing. Wheat after soybeans has extra risk, as soybeans remove large amounts of sulfur from the soil. No-till fields can also have more risk of sulfur deficiency, being more stratified and colder in the spring. Sulfur is a mobile nutrient much like nitrogen, so it is not something that can be built up in the soil for later use like phosphorus. Soil still isn't quite as transient as nitrogen. In its organic form sulfate, it will tend to cling to clay particles, but it also tends to leach down into the subsoil. Generally, we can consider sulfur to move at half the speed of nitrogen. In this area, in our heavy clay and shallow soils, sulfur can collect in the heavy clay right above the impermeable rock layer. Unfortunately, this can be out of the range of young plant roots to reach. Sulfur in the plant has a lot of the same functions as nitrogen, being involved in protein creation and chlorophyll production. This is largely why sulfur deficiency is often mistaken for nitrogen deficiency, and from the road, looks like yellowing areas on terraced side slopes in eroded areas where organic matter is lower. Looking at the individual plant, easiest identification is in the boundaries between the yellow wheat and the wheat that is still green. A sulfur deficient plant will have chlorosis in the new leaves, while nitrogen deficiency will affect the older leaves. Severely deficient wheat in both nitrogen and sulfur can be completely yellow. However, minor deficiencies might not be seen at all, but can still affect yield. Testing for sulfur in the soil can only accurately be done with a 24-inch soil profile test. Since we often don't have 24 inches of soil around here, just take a test as deep as possible. Since sulfur is mobile in the soil, a normal 6-inch soil sample isn't going to catch the real status of sulfur in the soil. Because a profile test is more difficult to take, and because its usefulness is only for that crop, I often suggest only to take one or two profile samples per field. Any profile test will also include nitrogen and chloride as well, all three of which are important for wheat. Ideally, take the profile test a few weeks before planned fertilization so the results can be processed in time, but not so early that the results will be inaccurate. Putting on sulfur fertilizer is easy, and it comes in all kinds of forms. A common dry fertilizer is gypsum, which is calcium sulfate, and is 18.6% sulfur. Gypsum can be top-dressed in the spring, but it takes some time for rain to dissolve it. Most farmers double the rate of gypsum and apply it less often, as it takes a couple of years to completely dissolve. Ammonium sulfate is another dry fertilizer that supplies part of the nitrogen as well. It's also easy to mix with urea. Ammonium triosulfate and potassium triosulfate are liquid fertilizers that can be mixed with UAN and top-dressed with a dribble bar. Rates of sulfur fertilizer will often be around 10 to 20 pounds per acre. If you have any questions about wheat fertilization, please give me a call at 620-724-8233. This has been James Coover with your Extension Crop Report.